Good evening. This message will be brought to you by Zicam and Red Bull, keeping me going for a few more minutes here. Appreciate your prayers as I get over whatever this is going on, and the family as well. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, as per usual. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We read also from 1 Thessalonians 5. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Matthew 6. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And from the Heidelberg Catechism, what is the third petition? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven." Let's open with prayer. Father, indeed, we do struggle to understand your strange design in saving sinners like us, and yet we know that it was your will to do so. And Father, we pray that we would see your will in all its aspects as being good and perfect and right, and the thing that we should want more than anything else on earth, and certainly more than our own. Pray that you'd help us to see and feel and know that a little bit better in these next few moments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a modern dream that exists that I think pervades society. The modern dream is this dream of there being absolute congruence between what we want and what happens. There are different ways in which this plays out in our world. One, in technology, we have smartphones and smart homes. You walk into your house, and if you have a smart home, the lights just come on. You want your lights to be on when you walk in the house, and they do. They just come on. You open up your phone and get ready to travel somewhere, and certain apps will know that you're on your way to work. And they'll say, "Do you want to go to work?" And you say yes. And it tells you how to get to work or what the traffic's going to be like. There's a congruence between everything, you know, all of our desires, all the things that we want, and there's this movement towards all those things that we want being just completely anticipated, just automatically happening for us, so that we don't have to think about it. It just happens. I like it when I walk into the, I know they're not doing it for me, but you walk into the freezer section at some grocery stores, and all the lights come on the freezers, you know, and I sort of feel like, I feel celebrated somewhat, you know, or even the, you know, sliding doors open up for you as you walk into a thing. I think, oh, this is nice. I like this, you know. There's a technological aspect to it. There's and really the technology is trying to get us to a place of, I forget the name of that movie, but the one where they're all sitting in floating easy chairs drinking Slurpees. Having all their needs attended to. Wall-E, that's the one. That's where we're headed, right? Everything you want, given. It's a financial dream. That money can solve all these problems. It can make all these things happen for us. You can see this, you can see it forever, but I think the film Network from the 70s, brilliant film, prophetic in many ways. But here is a man who's very wealthy speaking to this newscaster, and he's explaining the world to him. And he says, "The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live to see that perfect world in which there is no war or famine, oppression or brutality, one vast and ecumenical holding company, for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock, all necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused. It's that same goal, that same moving forward into this world where everything is just the way we like it to be. Personally, we see it. We want our kids to behave, right? We want our kids to do what we want them to do. And we want them to do it without us having to tell them 7,500 million times. We just want them to do it. We want our spouses to support us, to know just what to say in the right situations. We want easy and clear paths to making this kind of stuff happen. There's a guy, a relatively well-known author, and has a book called Have a New Kid by Friday. And sounds attractive, right? I mean, he also has a book called Have a New Spouse by Friday. And I think there's a whole series that he's written, Have a New Whatever by Friday. Because we just want things to work the way they're supposed to. We want things to go the way we want them to go. We want that congruence between what we want and what happens in our personal lives, in our professional lives, even in nature and the way we interact with it. The reason that you're this way, the reason that we want this, is because of the image of God in you. We don't immediately think of that, but that's why you want all these things to happen. It's because of the image of God in you. God wants congruence too, right? He wants things a certain way. He wants everyone to know what he wants, and he wants everything to serve him and his desires. He has a right to those things, does he not? He has a right to that congruence between what he wants, what he commands, and what happens. This is why everything in heaven is exactly the way he wants it. All the architecture of heaven is exactly the architecture which he has prescribed it to be. All the people that are in heaven, the spirits of righteous men made perfect, are all doing exactly what he wants them to do. The angels in heaven do everything exactly as he would have them to do. We see that spill over, if you will, into the Old Testament when we're looking at that picture of heaven, the Mosaic administration, the Mosaic covenant, the way the tabernacle was to be constructed, the incredible specificity. You know, when you're reading, doing your Bible reading plans, it's one of those things that, you know, if you do one of the, you know, read through the Bible in a year, it's one of the sort of roadblocks where you stop, oh my goodness, really, why do I have to know how long the poles were supposed to be to carry the Ark of the Covenant? Why do I need to know, you know, how long the curtains were, the dimensions of everything, what was supposed to be, all the details that were supposed to exist? He told them exactly what he wanted. If you didn't know what God wanted, it was because he hadn't told you what he wanted. But he gave incredible specificity as to exactly what he wanted. The other roadblock you'll hit is Leviticus, with all the sacrifices and how specific and just sort of almost painfully so as you work through that. This would be his dwelling place on earth among the Israelites, and everything needed to be a certain way. Everything needed to be just perfect. Because his dwelling place in heaven, as I said, is perfect. You remember that passage in Ezekiel 1, that really strange and bizarre vision that's there of the angels that are, there's wheels within wheels, and there's all sorts of strange creatures, and you know, you struggle to understand what's going on. There's one part there. It says, when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. When the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went. That's just a little picture into what happens in heaven. Where the spirit wants to go, what the spirit wants to happen, happens. Or Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. And as I mentioned, the spirits of the righteous men made perfect dwell there. In heaven, there's complete congruence. And in his rule over the natural world, there is also. Psalm 104, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. Here we see even the natural things that happen, the natural processes that exist and occur on this earth as being things that are directly commanded by God. They are things that God is saying, do this, and it happens. God makes the sun rise, and he makes the sun set. And he makes rise and set, and over and on it goes. Of course, there's one place where it isn't so. We see it in heaven, but we see a place where it isn't so, where his will, that is what he's commanded to happen, isn't necessarily being done. That's, of course, here, with all these people running around, all of us running around on this earth, people with our own wills made in his image and wanting our own way. Is it wrong to want things to go your way? At first you'll say yes. But I think ultimately, and more primarily, more basically, the answer is no. Because as long as your will is in perfect conformity to God's will, as long as you want what God wants, then you're wanting the right thing. The problem, of course, is that we don't. We don't want what God wants. We don't want the right thing. We either don't know what he wants or we refuse to obey it. And so we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer relates to two things. I think the Heidelberg Catechism hits on one of them. But it relates to two aspects of God's, the way God does things in the world. It relates, I'm using slightly different terms here than what you might have heard. It relates globally in the sense of what God does in the world, what God is up to, what God decrees, his decretive will, if you want the theological term, what he decrees to happen, what God does. And it also relates to his personal direction to you. Or his preceptive will, the precepts he set down, the commands. He said, do this. We can see that global aspect in Psalm 135, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. So there's whatever God wants to do, he does it. Psalm 115, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Personally, we see it in the commands that he gives us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that I read earlier, where he's telling us how to act, how to live. And we can see where the two meet together, right? I mean, in 1 Thessalonians 5, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here are things that God is commanding us to do that are, and he's telling us to do these things in the midst of life's circumstances that God himself has created for us. In the midst of circumstances which he has decreed to happen. So we're to give thanks because God has put us in that particular position for which we are to give thanks. God will lead you through various circumstances in life, and our duty is to obey him. And what we want when we pray this prayer is for our will to become his will, for us to want his will more than ours. That's how we get to the obedience in the midst of the things that he has brought to us, is wanting his will to be done. We ask that we might accept and even delight in His will for us, not just sort of begrudgingly, okay, we're just going to grind through this thing that God's doing in my life, but even delighting in it, joyfully performing all the things that He's commanded us to do. We pray for that congruence, not that all things might bend to us, but that all things, including us, might bend to Him. And we kick against this all the time, don't we? I mean, this is, it's so subtle. I mean, His commands are there. They're pretty clear. You know, do this. But, man, when you know, difficult circumstances come into your life, that's when it really gets hard to trust Him, to joyfully obey Him. We grumble against our circumstances, and it's easy to forget that when we grumble against our circumstances, we're grumbling against Him. We're actually grumbling against God. It's not just the person who has done the thing to us that we're grumbling against. Maybe there is a situation where somebody's done something bad to us, and that situation needs to be remedied somehow. But we have to remember that God has put us in that situation. We should not grumble that the thing has happened to us, because that was God's will. I've been in many situations like that, where there was wrong done by man to me, and yet the situation I needed to rejoice in, and didn't always do that so well. If anyone ever had a right for things going His way, of course, it was Jesus. You know, Jesus having two wills, a divine will and a human will, being two natures. And in His agony, waiting to go to the cross, He's going to be killed for people who hated Him, who continually sinned against Him, who abandoned Him even. Here's an opportunity both to disobey in that personal sense and reject what God is doing. But He prayed not for His own will, His human will, but for the divine will to be done. It was a higher good to Him for God's will to be done than it was for Him to preserve His own life. And it was part of His obedience to God that His will should submit to His. It's how He reversed the curse, so to speak. Because when Adam was in a garden, long before that, faced with a choice between His will and God's, he chose His own. But this time, man, Jesus, chose God's will. His will became God's will, and there's perfect congruence between His will on earth as it was in heaven. So we, like our Savior, are commanded to pray likewise. Here in Matthew chapter 6, understanding the profound challenge that we're up against in conforming our will to God's. Vitius, in his book on the Lord's Prayer, says there's nothing more closely allied to us that the will to us than the will of our flesh, and nothing more criminal. It is the fountain of our uneasiness and distress, the constant disturber of our peace and cheerfulness. So we know that it's only by God's power that this is going to happen. This is why we have to pray it in this prayer, that Your will be done, because if it's up to us, it's not going to happen. It has to be, again, just as we prayed for Thy kingdom to come, it has to be God working in us and for His name to be hallowed. It has to be God at work in us to hallow His name. So even for His will to be done, in other words, for us to obey, for there to be congruence between what God commands and what we do, we need Him. Because God's the fountain of rest and joy and peace. His will is perfect and leads to Your perfection, ultimately in glory. So if you want to be happy, stop chasing your own will, your own pleasure, your own desire for wealth or status or friends or children or whatever it is that you want, regardless of whether or not God wants it for you. pray this and let Him do it. Let Him be God. Let Him govern and provide. It's what He's going to do anyway, and He gives us the opportunity to have joy in the midst of us as we pray, Thy will be done. So we forget when we think about God's will for us, we forget so easily that nobody loves us like He does. Nobody loves you like God does. You don't love you like God does. He loves you more. What He wants for you is better. Let Him give you what you need. Let Him put you where He wants to put you. And joyfully accept it. And the peace of God will rule in your heart. Because your greatest desire is going to be whatever God desires for you. And that's going to be perfect. And that's actually going to give you peace and joy and satisfaction as you walk in this life. So when you pray that, don't just skip over it. Don't just pray it as part of the thing we do when Al prays, the pastoral prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that God's will would be done, that we would do His will, and that whatever He does in us and to us and for us, we would be accepting with joy in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You love us more than we love ourselves. Our own love for ourselves leads to our own destruction, and Your love for us leads to life everlasting. I pray that You would help us to see that even as we turn the pages of Your Word and see time after time after time that even the darkest of times that You bring Your people through are times when You're making us to be like Yourself, to draw us to Yourself, to show us that You're God and there is no other. There's no one like You. Help us see that, Lord. Help us to pray that Your will would be done. And let us see it. Let us see Your will at work both in our lives and in the world around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.